B-Pod Studios.
Free to shoot. Joel steps back on Lopez, puts it up, and in. The big man with a feathery touch. Right wing field goal is good. Embiid, 33 points in the game. Miritich having difficulty, and they lob it, and it's caught by Jimmy Butler. How fitting. And the Sixers beat Milwaukee 130 to 125.
Clap your hands, everybody.
Hey, come on.
Philadelphia 76ers.
Come on now. You gotta feel the vibe. You gotta feel the love, baby.
Got to.
You go out to Milwaukee, you take care of business, beat the Bucks at the All-Star break. Actually, no, it was even before the All-Star break. When they played the Celtics and lost, we talked about what? We talked about having 8 games left in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And really 8 games that mattered. This was one of them.
Yes, it was.
Against the Bucks. Number one team in our conference, Sixers go out to Milwaukee, take care of business. And, here's what drives you nuts. You see this great game played by the Sixers. You see them be able to close it out. They made it a little bit more interesting than it should have been. But they close it out nonetheless. Jimmy Butler, fourth quarter, good to see you. Joel Embiid making things happen for your squad.
I'm an incredible human being.
And they close out the victory. Huge win for the Sixers. Bob, you've labeled a couple of different games, the biggest game since that Celtics game. This one?
What game did I just have recently that was a really big game? I thought I had another one.
But whatever it is, it's second.
Yeah, no, this was good. And the anticipation of it all, and like we've talked about before, the Sixers needed that one not only for the standings, they needed it for their heads. And they needed to know that this group can play together and can do something really good against a good team. And they were good yesterday.
They were phenomenal yesterday. They made it, they made it interesting. They had other little things throughout the game to make it a little bit more than just a basketball game. And I'm not even talking about the impact it has on the standings and the Sixers, the confidence in the Sixers going into the playoffs and all that fun stuff. But you saw an MVP again. And I'm not talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not talking about the Greek freak. I'm talking about this guy named Joel Embiid, who overcame a giant chocolate cake in his face not even 24 hours prior to go out on the court and do what he did with 40 points, 15 rebounds. How do you like that? He came out and played like an MVP again. And you've seen those. You've seen him play like that. But when you look down the other court, and you look at the other bench, and you see that Giannis Antetokounmpo guy walking off of it, and you're looking at him, and you're going, well, that right there, if you have to bet, that's probably the MVP of the league. But Joel Embiid went out with a point to prove yesterday. And I don't know about you, Trey, but I just saw this competitive edge in him, this fire burning inside him that he wasn't going to let his team lose this game.
Yeah, no, he definitely came to play. I mean, I think just as a unit, the team came to play. But Joel, you could tell that the energy definitely was there. You know, after wiping the cake off his face, it was a little gooey. You know, he came out there, you know, celebrated his birthday, and went toe-to-toe out there with one of the best in the game. I mean, you could definitely tell that these guys were really showing, like, all right, you know what? I'm the better one.
Yeah.
And they both went out there, and it was a great battle to watch.
And the NBA was smiling ear to ear to see those two young talents go after it yesterday against each other and just saying, future of this league looks pretty good.
Yes, it does. And there are a couple of different moments where each of the two MVP candidates kind of puffed their chest out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you know, that kind of moxie about them. One was with Antetokounmpo backing down Ben Simmons with about a minute left to play in the game. And then Ben able to follow up a miss from Joel Embiid right over Antetokounmpo, and it was a great matchup there as well. Ben didn't have his best game, definitely filled out the stat sheet, as they say, but when they needed him there, I mean, he was there. Jimmy Butler, like I said, took over in the fourth quarter. Joel Embiid kept it going. Here's one thing I will say about Embiid's performance yesterday, and I'm going to go ahead and nitpick, if you even want to call it nitpicking. Not sure I need 13 threes from Joel Embiid.
Mm.
Love the guy. He made 4 of them. Made them in some clutch situations. You heard one right there as we were coming back. But I don't know if I need 13 from him. So we'll talk about everything that has to do with this game. We'll break that down as the show goes on today over the next 4 hours. Had a little selection Sunday. I know we'll touch on that. 2 local teams getting in with Nova. And my Temple Owls. Good to see you, despite not getting a win in the American, but whatever. Anyway, they're in the tournament, and we're really excited about that. I was a little surprised.
You're feeding a fed horse.
I was a little surprised. We had Mike Curran in here on Friday, and I told him that if they don't beat Wichita State, I'm a little nervous about them making it. What, they had four selections left?
Mm-hmm.
Edge of the seat just a little bit, but they're able to get in, Fran Duffy's last hurrah, all that stuff. And then something happened on Friday where the earth stood still.
I know exactly where I was. I'll never forget.
I was sleeping. I didn't see it live. I woke up to every. You know, when you get the opportunity in between gigs to take a little siesta, you try to take advantage, right?
You do that.
You do that, by golly. So every once in a while, I'll wake up to like heart palpitations, right? So I look at my phone and I'm scrolling and I get my wake up from my little siesta before I have to go back to the other gig. And I'm scrolling on the phone, and I'm going through, and I'm like, what's that? Oh, my God!
Bryce Harper got a hit?
Close.
Oh, no, Bob, don't be silly.
Bryce Harper got hit.
Oh, that one, yeah.
And the sound it made
Oof.
Was, it was rather off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who hit him from Toronto. I had to look it up. That man is a public enemy. Now, fortunately, Bryce Harper, not missing time, really.
Yeah.
He's day-to-day.
Shook
still,
it off.
Still looking for that hit. Yesterday, didn't look so great. But, like you said, Trey, shook it off. Came back into the game, or came back yesterday, and got some hacks in, got some ABs in, but that was pretty much it. Still nothing really to wow you from Bryce Harper this spring training. But still, when you invest $330 million in a player over 13 years, you would kind of like that player to be healthy. And you'd also like that player to get a hit, but let's just ignore that for a second in spring training. But when you look into the idea of him getting pegged in the ankle, you kind of just, you kind of pass out for a second. And that's what happened to all of us on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely, because I know when I saw it, I'm like, man. You know, just
what
trying to figure it out. Like, hold on, man. What do we need to do? Do we need to gas up and, I mean, head down?
Yes.
Down to Clearwater? Because it seems like he needs work. I mean, you know, do my fellow Philadelphians, do we need to, you know, gas up and get down there, man? I mean, Bryce needs our help, man. I mean, the pitcher is public enemy number one right now.
Gabe had his back. Did you see him come out and stare at the pitcher? He had a stare down.
Oh, really?
Oh, Gabe was looking out like, don't you do that.
Was he wearing the aviators? Because that's even more.
Yeah, with the mirror.
No, he took them off because he wanted to look eye, as they say.
Laser
always
beams.
Look eye.
Laser beams from his eyes.
Yeah, he was ready to roll.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. Gabe Kapler will go out there and rip somebody's arms off. You got to love that about Gabe the Babe. But when you look at everything else that happened this weekend, it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday. The Irish pub that I live next to had live music. So I think I've had my fill of the fiddle. I'm pretty good on that for a while. They're having a good time.
That's good.
They're having one. Here's the thing. The music ends, finally. And somebody just started saying, and this person was at an all-time high in terms of drunkenness,
mm-hmm.
started singing Piano Man. I don't know what that has to do with St. Patrick's Day.
That's the most Irish of songs there is, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Piano Man, Danny Boy, and then I don't know what it's
called.
My Irish eyes are smiling. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Was it a big day for you yesterday, Bob?
I went out for a little bit, but no, it's home in time, watch the Sixers, and had a buddy come over and watch, and just tongue out, and yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Trey, did you do anything for St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, I went out, you know, came over to the city for a little bit. Had a couple of beverages.
Oh, there you go.
Watched the game.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Good for you. Jamie Lynch, how about you? Another Irishman.
I wasn't going to, and then I was sitting there, and I got a text from a buddy, and he was like, kind of, I will if you will. And I was like, all right, it's St. Patrick's Day.
That is the biggest lie you ever told yourself.
No, I wasn't planning on going out.
I'm not
going
to go out today, as he looks at his phone. Anybody text me so I have an excuse?
Yeah.
I will?
Yeah, kind of.
That's how your life goes?
He's like, are you going to, you know, the wave? And I was like, no, but if you do, I could be talked into it.
I don't want to leave you stranded.
Yeah, I don't want to let a friend drink alone.
Come on. That means he has a problem.
That's the anti-Irish. You can't let the guy drink alone.
Exactly. So we'll get into some things. We want to know what you did if you embraced St. Patrick's Day the way most people did around the city, because the city was bumping, man. So a lot of things going on throughout Philadelphia.
The Aaron Express might be my nightmare.
I thought the Aaron Express was like a week before St.
It's
Patrick's
like
Day.
3 weeks long. And
yeah, there was definitely one on Saturday because yeah. I had friends who went and kids went and stuff. Yeah.
Buy stock in green top hats. Those are the things that people really love to wear. Not top hats. What do they call those? It's not a pork pie hat.
Jeff cap?
No, not a Jeff cap.
You know
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, with the rim up all around. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. One of those type things.
Yeah, I don't know.
We got that. We got a woman walking around with a suitcase full of cats.
Yeah, suitcase full of cats.
A story Trey shared with us that I passed along to my wife, and she immediately loved it. We will have a question of the day with Sam Wilson, and it comes down to basketball because that's what I think most people are going to be talking about. Comes down to Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it comes down to Joel Embiid. Philadelphia, I'm going to ask you for your unbiased opinion in our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Here it is. Who is your MVP? The Greek Freak or Joel Embiid? Do you trust them to be unbiased, Trey Thomas?
No.
Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. Bob, do you trust them to be honest? Trust them to be honest with themselves?
So the question is the MVP of this season.
Who is your MVP?
I know who mine is, and no, I don't trust the fans to vote honestly. No.
I believe that the fan base of Philadelphia, without question, will vote unbiased for their MVP. And I believe that it'll still be Joel Embiid that'll win. Okay. Am I wrong where it annoys you that one guy has 52 points and he grabs the headlines, and then everybody, oh, by the way, the Sixers. Like, if you look on ESPN.com, for instance, right, and you look at the headline of the story, no. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 52 points, but fall to the Sixers.
Yeah.
I was like, reverse that. Thank you very much. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right.
Is that my own bias?
Yeah, he had 52 points, 16 rebounds, man.
JoJo had 40 and 15.
Yeah. I mean,
six assists.
Come on now. Yeah. Don't waste my time. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We have another pair. I don't know. How many pairs of these tickets do we have? This is incredible, ladies and gentlemen. We have another pair of 76ers Brooklyn Nets tickets to give away 10 days from today.
You like that?
We love that. Thursday night, March 28th, versus the Brooklyn Nets. We're also giving away one spot in our knockout game on the court after the game. You can register for a spot also in the competition on our contest page at 975thefanatic.com. Caller of the day will win a pair of tickets to Sixers Nets that night, Thursday night, March 28th, and also a spot in our knockout tournament after the game on the court. Hard to beat that. Do have to tell you, 6 o'clock hour brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company specializing in multifamily and single family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com. Coming back, I mentioned earlier Joel Embiid's fierce competitive edge throughout the game. Brett Brown even talked about that post game. And Mike Scott, the regional manager, he definitely embraced St. Patrick's Day yesterday. We'll let you hear that coming up in a few. Larry in South Philly, you stay right there. Open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic, 613.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I was just free today. Usually I'm kind of reluctant to shoot threes and, just take a lot of shots. But tonight my teammates just told me to keep going. And, the fact that I kept going and making that last three was part of it because of my teammates, the coaches. So I'm really thankful for them. But we got a lot of work to do. This is my fourth game back and four wins in all. So we can be so much better, especially defensively.
Did he say he's reluctant to shoot threes?
Yeah. I think that's what he was trying to say, maybe?
Let it rain!
Man, the big fella was letting it rip behind the arc.
Well, here's the deal. So, what is
Man, I'm trying to be dumb now.
His 13-3 was like almost a game sealer.
No. Yes!
Yeah, I'm like, awesome!
That is pretty much how all of Philadelphia watches Joel.
Never a doubt.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 1,000 no's followed by, oh, thank God. Like, that's pretty much how we all watch Joel Embiid shoot threes. But if his teammates are telling him to just let it rip,
Yeah.
He's got, I don't know. I still, look, I don't, the modern NBA, right? If you have that in your skill set, go ahead. But 13, I don't know if I need 13 of those threes from Joel Embiid. Real quick, we'll give you our Twitter poll question brought to you by Window Nation here. But Larry's been holding here. Larry in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's on your mind today, Larry?
You know, I need 10 of those from Ben Simmons, a point guard who disappeared in the last 6 minutes except for one basket. Did you notice that? He was coming up the court. He didn't know what to do. Jimmy Butler took over. How can those two play together?
That's what he knew what to do. Let Jimmy Butler take over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then he's just sitting
there. No, yeah, buts. They just beat the best team in the league. Jimmy Butler took over in the fourth quarter. That's exactly what you got him for.
Yeah, but does that mean we need Ben Simmons anymore or what? I mean,
yes. Definitely.
Larry,
still
you're not serious, are you?
No, I'm serious. What? Did Ben Simmons
oh, it's Hodge. No wonder.
At the end of the game.
Yeah, you're right.
He wasn't even there. One basket he had.
Oh, my God. You've watched basketball before. A guy that scores one basket in the last 8 minutes sucks, huh?
He disappeared, man. He didn't touch the ball for 6 minutes other than that.
Didn't have
how
to.
Can your point guard, how can the guy that you designate the next you know, Hall of Fame point guard get away with not touching the ball in the last 6 minutes of the game?
Won the game. Have two guys that took over the game.
So that's what you need to do to win the game is keep the ball out of his hand?
But yesterday it was all right. Worked for him.
Hey, Larry, if you have a better scorer to close out the game in a game like this, yeah, it's okay if Ben Simmons. I didn't feel he disappeared. He was still getting assists for himself.
No.
He was still got the putback against Giannis Antetokounmpo later.
Putback, but he didn't touch the ball after that. He didn't get a rebound. He didn't block a pass on defense. The ball never touched his hand for 6 minutes other than that one putback.
And why is this? Why is this a problem in the last 4 minutes of a game against the best team in the NBA when it's better off in Jimmy Butler's hand?
Because last year you had Ben Simmons who disappeared in the end.
He had one point against the Boston Celtics. I feel like I'm the only person that actually brings it up.
Yeah, right. One point. I mean, but we're designated him as the next Hall of Fame Magic Johnson type point guard, and you can't play like that if you're going to do that.
He's 22 years old. He's 22 years old. What is your problem? What is your problem with it?
Well, how does
you have a better option on the court?
Yeah, Ben Simmons should be your option.
Yeah, he will eventually be that, and he was for the remainder of the game until that. So thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You are our first caller, so technically you are in the lead for the Sixers tickets.
Now, he is upset.
He's upset. Larry, he goes by two names? How's this work?
It's Hodge.
Oh, he always calls in as somebody else because we know Hodge.
Okay,
I should have wrote maybe Hodge. I told Jamie, but not you.
All right, what do we have up now for our Twitter poll right now, Sam Wilson, brought to you by Window Nation?
We asked, who is your league MVP? We have just under 300 votes so far, and 73% say Joel Embiid, 27% say Giannis Antetokounmpo. I can't say it.
We're going to have to do this again.
Why is that?
Let's talk it out.
Okay, here we go. First of all, Antetokounmpo.
Because I still screw it up all the time.
I can't say it.
Yeah, I won't even try.
No?
Antetokounmpo. Now you're messing around. Antetokounmpo.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
I'm going to be honest with you. I get to aunt, and then I black out, and I don't know what I say.
So many vowels.
I know. I don't know what happens.
So many vowels.
And then people look at me and just go, okay.
Yeah. We know what you're saying.
Antetokounmpo.
Greek freak.
Yeah, the spelling even like puts an N before the M. It's weird.
My wife's watching the game, and she's like, who's the Greek freak? And I was like, this guy right here, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And she's like, Antetokounmpo? That's Greek? And I'm like, anyway. Yeah, like we're American. You can move other parts of the world. You don't just have to be American. Whatever. But all right, so you have Sam. Read it for me one more time.
Who is your MVP?
Who is your MVP is the way we word it.
Yes, Alex Yurum tweets in, Embiid is my MVP, but James Harden is his league MVP.
Okay, so we have to change this because I want to know about. I don't want anyone with their biased opinion because we know who your MVP is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But who gets your vote? That's what I want to know. This is what who is the MVP of the NBA? How should we word this?
So Giannis.
All right.
Yeah.
How do we word this so that we don't get biased votes? I want unbiased votes. How do we word this? Who gets your vote?
Who deserves?
Who deserves?
Boom!
Sam Wilson.
Sam.
Do you want to make it the four option?
Wow.
What? With Paul George, Giannis, Embiid,
no,
and Harden?
No. I want people to want
simplify.
People, off the
confusing.
Fence.
Confusing.
Off the what? So you want to split the vote? Is that what you want to do? I like your tactic. No, we're going to go between the two because that's who was putting up points yesterday. 40 points from Embiid, 52 from Giannis, Antetokounmpo. Blacked out. And who gets your vote out of those? How did you word it, Sam?
I'm going to say who deserves to be the MVP of the NBA.
There we go. That's how you get the unbiased voters.
There you go.
But I go Joel, the process, Embiid. Who do you go?
Giannis.
Listen to you.
I'm sorry.
Why you got to rain on the parade?
I mean, I love Embiid's game, you know, but... You know, missing those eight games, that eight-game stretch where he kind of left his team hanging. Mm-hmm. That kind of left a little sore spot for me. You know, especially when you go and you look at what the Greek Freak put out. He's played 65 out of 70 games. Joel has played 58 out of 70.
Mm.
You know, their stats are very similar. I mean, they're both are averaging 33 minutes a game. And Joel is 27.3 points a game, and Giannis is 27.5.
All right, well, you know, how'd the team do? How'd the Sixers do without the MVP, though?
Hey, man.
They did around 500 basketball.
Yeah. Hey, look, you asked me.
No, you're right. I apologize. I don't know why I'm interrogating you, Trey. I apologize. Bob Cooney, who's the MVP?
Yeah, I got to go Giannis.
Oh, my goodness!
No, I think MVP, most valuable player to your team, most valuable player to the league. They're the best record in the NBA. He is the best player by far on that team, and yeah, I have to go there.
Sam Wilson.
Sorry, Mark. You asked for unbiased.
But Sam, you had to say the full name.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You're getting warmer.
Oh,
you're getting warmer.
Right. I think you missed an N.
But I'm not going to lie. I was biased on the poll earlier, and I voted Joel.
Uh-huh.
And then I felt real guilty as soon as I pressed it, and I was like, gosh, dang it.
What?
It's Giannis.
I felt guilty. It's a Twitter
yes,
poll.
I know, but I had the weight on my shoulders.
Sam's going to confession. She feels terrible after St. Patrick's Day, not going out. How do you not go out of all of us, Sam?
I know. I'm such a lame-o now. I was so mad at myself.
It's just no Dion.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It was his birthday, too. I should have celebrated without him.
Oh, okay.
He was born on St. Patrick's Day?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so wasn't Reese Hoskins and Gene Segura yesterday?
Yeah.
Wasn't their birthday
as
well?
Happy birthday singing.
Dion shares a birthday with those gentlemen?
Yeah, it's like pro baseball birthday day.
All right, good enough.
Yeah, there you go.
And Jamie, you already voted, so I'm not even going.
Yeah, Giannis.
Now, here's what I'm talking about when it comes to Joel Embiid after the game. And he's the MVP as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Joel Embiid takes over the game. Late, him and Jimmy Butler are just like, hey, guys, we got this. No worries.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler finishing at the rim. But JoJo seemed like he had a little extra edge with Giannis Antetokounmpo out there. Seemed like he had a little extra oomph to his game. Wanted to prove a point. Sometimes you see guys come out trying to prove a point. That's what he was trying to do in this game. That's what it seemed like. So after the game, Brett Brown was asked about his big man taking over.
The thing that maybe most stood out to me, there was a fierce level of competitiveness that he played with tonight all over the place. Like it was at an A level. It was at a playoff level. And the physical side of things, throwing his body into things, like he just was extremely competitive.
I loved seeing that type of competitiveness, attitude, moxie, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. I love seeing that from Joel Embiid. And what was funny was I actually thought of you, Trey,
mm-hmm.
because when we had Tobias Harris on Friday, you asked him about, hey, you know, you're footloose and fancy free, kind of, mm-hmm. with Boban Marjanovic. We see the jovialness of you when you outside the court. But on the court, there's that game face, that game mode.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that again from Joel Embiid, because we're used to seeing, like I said, 24 hours prior, we're seeing video of him and Meek Mill and I think Michael Rubin getting a pie in the face, a cake in the face
Don't
of Joel Embiid.
Anna DePaula was there.
Anna DePaula was there. Mm-hmm. Not enough of her in that video, unfortunately.
Karaoke.
Yeah, he's a big karaoke guy,
yeah,
Joel.
Yeah. Karaoke's pretty cool.
I did karaoke once, and it was the worst experience of my life.
Yeah.
For everyone around you, too.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
Yeah, me and the wife went and did it one time, and she was like, oh, no, I don't want to sing. And then she got the mic, and woo! I'm like, babe, you got to pass the mic. She I want to sing the next song.
You know? Yeah, you either have it in your DNA or you don't.
What was Rose's go-to?
I don't remember the song.
Jamie, what'd you go? What'd you do?
We were on a family cruise in Alaska.
Oh, my God.
And the girls were the primary singers, and it was like...
Not the question, Jamie. What was your go-to?
I only did the one song, and it was terrible.
Did you pick it?
No.
Oh.
I got totally peer pressured into it.
I can see why.
It was terrible. I can't even remember.
I can see why you forget that.
Yeah.
I actually want to be there present when JoJo's singing the his karaoke. Guided by the light. I don't know. I don't know if that's his go-to or not. Let's get to B-Hawk, our good friend B-Hawk. What's up, buddy?
Yo, man, good win. Yo, I know I'm always hard on Butler when I call him, but this is what we want to see we got him for. It was a good moral victory. And, I mean, you don't get a team without pieces. I mean, Jordan needs Craig Hodges. He needed packs. In some situations, you need other players to step up. So, I mean, if the young fella got to sit back and take notes until he get it right, what if he gets it right in the playoff? We're going to take that. But I definitely enjoyed the putbacks, though. When Giannis whammed on Ben came right back. But it was good situational ball before hard at the end. And I know I'm hard on Butler, but this is what we want to see. Shout out to J.J. Redick with the consistency, too. That 19, you know, that was desperately needed. But, that showed something last night. And it was really, I can't wait for the playoffs, man.
No, it was great. Here's the thing. The first, 90 seconds of the game, it was sloppy as hell. I was like,
nobody can make anything. Yeah.
Did these guys go out to the bar before the game? Mm-hmm. Did they embrace St. Patrick's Day maybe a little too early? Because they were just jacking up shots. And the next thing you know, JJ lets one rip, I think, from the top of the key and just right through, no problem whatsoever. Yeah, JJ helped get everybody on track and get that game going.
Yo, definitely, man. Yeah, I know y'all had an MVP talk, but Mark, I got another word for you. My vote is Giannis.
Oh, my goodness. All right, B-Hawk, you take over as one of our callers of the day right there. We'll put you in the running for some of those 76ers tickets. I'm the guy that's been begging for Ben Simmons to score more and develop his outside game and be more of that scorer that this team still will need if Jimmy Butler doesn't end up signing here. But down the stretch of a game, I want Jimmy Butler taking over.
Mm-hmm.
I want him coming out in the fourth quarter as the guy that when they traded for him was the leading scorer in the fourth quarter in the NBA. You want him coming in and finishing at the rim, shaking guys off, getting that outside jump shot to fall. You want him being that type of guy. And we've talked about that in baseball, obviously you have a closer. In football, you have a running back you can hand the ball to and they close the game out for you. In basketball, you want that same type of guy that will just take the ball and take care of business down the stretch. JoJo certainly had his say in the game towards the final minutes of the game, and so did Jimmy Butler. That's what you want the guy to do.
And look how he did it. I mean, you had jump shots where he just took it. You knew he was going to take it, but you didn't know where he was going to go. He rose up and hit jump shots. He hit a runner in the lane. Remember, he went like an 8-footer, just a 1-footed runner. And then the time that he crossed over and went right into Giannis's body and looked like he was going to go left-handed, and then as he's falling down, brings it back over to his right and makes a layup. Mm-hmm. He was the perfect closer yesterday. It's exactly what this team got him for.
I don't know why anyone would find that to be a negative. Ben Simmons still developing that part of his game. Everything else is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But in the closing minutes of a game against the number one team in your conference, I'm gonna kind of want the veterans to take over. I'm gonna want the veterans to take over in that type of game, in that type of atmosphere, and just be able to close it out. And that's what you saw from Jimmy Butler. Again, you saw it from Joel Embiid as well. But you're really starting to see some of these other guys step up late in games. And a guy like Mike Scott hits you a late three. And I teased this earlier, but Mike Scott earlier in the game dives into the stands, gives you the hustle play. Gets the assist to J.J. Redick, or excuse me, to T.J. McConnell, who had a nice little 10-foot jumper in the paint. And as Mike Scott's running out of bounds, lays there for a second, reaches over to a woman's beverage, takes a quick sip, gets back onto the court.
Did we ever figure out what that was?
Originally, I thought it was a Jack and Coke.
White wine? You think it was a cocktail?
Oh, I thought it was a beer at first, like, and then I thought it was water. I don't know. I couldn't really tell.
I'm going to go ahead and say it definitely wasn't water.
Yeah, I don't think it was water.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It looked a little cloudy.
I thought it was upon further review, I do think it was beer.
Yeah.
I think it was a stout of some sort. I'm going to go ahead and guess because it was St. Patrick's Day. It was Guinness. Mm. But I thought at first it was a Jack and Coke.
Yeah, I think it was a beer.
But I see him laying there for a second, and I'm like, what is he doing? Oh, good for him.
Yeah, took a quick sip of beer.
A few libations.
Yeah.
Let's get Cabo up here. Cabo, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What is it, Cabo? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you're saying it right.
What's up, man?
Nothing much, man. I called about a month ago, and basically I had a couple points. You guys had disagreed at the time, but I felt like last night, pretty much proved, what I was saying about, the Sixers moving forward. I pretty much was saying,
you know, we need more closers. I told you guys, I said basically Embiid and Butler are, you know, the best players that we have on the team. And that, last night pretty much proved it. I mean, Butler showed that he was a closer. Mm-hmm. You know, he did what he did last night. And Embiid showed that he was the leader of the team. You know, and moving forward, you know, I feel like those two are, like, really all we have on, you know, on the team. I feel like we need more smart players on our team, you know, in order to compete with the, you know, the big level teams like Golden State and stuff like that. But for MVP, I definitely got Embiid over Giannis.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I think the Sixers beating the Bucks and Milwaukee made that, like, very clear. That Embiid's greater than Giannis.
Yeah, see, you know, if you think about it, if you really break it down, totally unbiased, Gabby, the 52 points by Giannis actually work against him. Because if he was a real MVP, those 52 points would have counted in a win. And so they lost. JoJo only needs 40 to help his team.
Exactly. And you know, with him scoring that, you know, with Giannis scoring more than Embiid, I don't think it's, you know, the game's not all about points. It's about, you know, who affects their team the most and, you know, what leader affects their team the most and puts them on top. And, you know, that was made very clear last night when we went to Milwaukee and we, you know, beat the Bucks at their home court.
Absolutely. Cobb, I'm going to put you in the running for our Sixers tickets. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We got Matt and Audubon, then you. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll actually let you hear the play-by-play, as Tom McGinnis called it, of Mike Scott diving out of bounds to save a basketball before TJ knocked it down. Also, we have a beautiful story about some cats, Trey. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely story. And then the Philadelphia Flyers came up with a huge win last night against the Penguins. And what Penguins fans were doing last night was one of the most, certainly not the most, but one of the most disrespectful things they have ever done involving Philadelphia and the rivalry they have with our beautiful city. Time at the Fanatic, 641.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Scott bats it out to the near side, dives into the front row, saves it. Sixers with a pull-up by TJ. Bucket good. Got it. McConnell. And Mike Scott is still in row two.
And he reaches for a woman's beverage and takes a sip before running back out into the court.
That's probably how the rest of that would go if our man Tom McGinnis saw what happened. So about 2 minutes left in the first quarter, Mike Scott saves the ball, goes right to TJ McConnell. He hits the jumper, as we said earlier. Apparently, and our buddy Avante on Twitter is tweeting us saying that apparently Mike Scott acknowledged after the game that it was Jack Daniels. Man after my own heart.
No ice.
Looked watery. Looked a little watery.
Maybe it was on the back end.
I think
ice melted.
Yeah.
Going just double Jack, no ice, straight. What a savage.
She's
Irish.
Yeah,
she's going in.
If she's Irish, where's the J-Mo? Or the Tully? Is Tully Irish? Tully's Irish.
Tell him more, dude.
Yes. Yeah, it's Irish, no? Yeah, I thought so. But Jack Daniels, that's my personal go-to, my personal preference. That lady, good for her. Mike Scott, better for you. And that was an interesting play from yesterday. I do want to say, though, in this game, one of the things that was pretty awesome was not just how they closed out the game in the fourth quarter, but how they struggled in different parts of the game and always bounced back. Like, they were able to get 10-point leads, 12-point leads, 13-point, all that stuff, but there were periods where no better example than the end of the game, but we've talked about that a lot already, but there were parts and stretches in the third quarter and the second quarter where you thought Giannis Antetokounmpo was going to start getting things going, especially in the first half, and to look at his total and see 52 points is wow, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. But in the first half, he had 17 points, 35 in the second. First half, there were little spurts here where you saw him, oh boy, here he goes. He just started, and they were able to nullify it. Second half, they weren't able to do that. They weren't able to reach back and find something to stop him. And for the vast majority of the game, you had Brett Brown D'ing up Giannis Antetokounmpo with Joel Embiid. Maybe a couple of plays here and there, you saw Ben Simmons on him, but for the vast majority of the game, it looked like JoJo was all over him.
Yeah, Brett really had a defensive scheme, it seemed like yesterday, that was different from what they usually do. Usually they're running people off the three-point line, forcing them into Embiid. Yesterday, they were kind of just backing off and letting everybody shoot and concentrating on clogging the lane a little bit, and they never doubled Antetokounmpo. They just let him go one-on-one all the time. And my buddy and I were watching the game. We're screaming kind of like, double him. But they decided not to. That was their game plan was, and I think it might be going forward, they're going to outscore teams. That's what they're looking to do. Not that they're giving up defensively, but I think they're just like, we can outscore teams.
A wise man once said that a strong offense is a good defense.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's get to Matt in Audubon. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Matt?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good, bud.
All right, so everybody always calls in after losses and we rip Brett Brown and we take the game apart. And then when we win, we don't really talk about the details of the game. So I'm here to give him a little bit of credit, but also voice concern.
Okay.
So I thought what he did well yesterday was his timeouts. I thought he was very quick to stop runs. And I think when you're on the road, that's really important. I think there was a time when they were up 11 and then they hit the Bucks at a three. He calls timeout right away. Kind of stifles that crowd, stifles any run that they're going to get. He had done that a couple times where he called timeout immediately when he saw something he didn't like. And I think with this young team, you have to do that. Their play calls late in the game, actually it's probably about midway fourth quarter. When it really got important, I thought, you know, he came off. There was a couple double screens where the screener would roll back. I think it was Jimmy Butler, actually. But they did a lot of things to get Jimmy as the main scorer, which I think is really important. A lot of, like, you know, isolated pick and rolls, which is really, really good. The problem I have is you guys said they're just going to outscore people. And I don't think, if you look at the way they score offensively throughout a game all season, they get worse as the game goes on. They got a big lead in the first half yesterday, and then in the second half, they actually lost the second half if you add up all the points. So that concerns me because they don't score well in the second half, and they're not a great defensive team in the third quarter. So that's my voice of concern. However, with all of it said, you can break it all down. They got to win against the best team in the East on the road. And I think for this team and their gelling moving forward, that's really important at this time of season.
Yeah, Matt, the only thing I'll say is that, yeah, if you add up all the points, they did lose the second half, which is fine when you win the game, obviously. But they only lost by 4 points. And in the fourth quarter, there were 84 points scored. Like that's incredible. And to be able to withstand that kind of offensive output from another team with their own 41-point performance in the fourth quarter, I'll still take that because it shows that you're closing out the game the way you should be. And here's what's really bothered me, and I'll put you on hold, man. You're in the running for our Sixers tickets. And I don't know where this comes from, Bob. And Trey, maybe you know this as well. But I don't know where it comes from with Jimmy Butler all of a sudden disappearing, and now it seems like Brett says the other night, Jimmy Butler has to close out games for us. We need him to be that scorer, or we're just not going to be good enough. Like, I don't know where the transition happens, because I'm watching it, and I'm screaming over the last couple of games, even without Joel Embiid, where's Jimmy Butler? Mm-hmm. I need more shots from Jimmy Butler. I need more offense from Jimmy Butler. He talked about at one point his role in the offense, and he's fine with it, whatever. Whatever this role is now, this is the Jimmy Butler you traded for, and I love seeing him again. That's what you need to win.
Yeah, no question. I mean, one of those guys, either he or Tobias Harris, is going to have to be that other takeover guy at the end of games. You know, Joel Embiid's going to see the double all the time. Those guys aren't going to see doubles out on the perimeter. And they're both guys that can create off the dribble and can pull up for jump shots. You got to see more of it. And yesterday, Jimmy decided it was going to be him. Other games, maybe it's Tobias. But I think this offense is what you're going to see from here on out, Mark. And that's like, if Jimmy Butler gets 20 shots, Tobias might only get 10 or 12. You know, like yesterday we saw, Tobias had 12 points, and it could be vice versa. Mm-hmm. And Embiid's going to get his, Simmons will get his, and then the other two, I think it's kind of a feel-out thing a little bit.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I don't know if it's a conscious effort from Brett Brown saying, all right, Jimmy, unleash the beast. Go handle your business. Uh-huh. Or if it's just a feel that Jimmy Butler's getting there. I don't know where that would come from, Trey. I mean, as a former player, you look at a guy, former athlete, you look at a guy that might just know when he can take over. But I would think that the coach has to say, all right, Jimmy, you do you.
Yeah, I think it's more Brett just saying, all right, Jimmy, hey, it's time, man. Go turn it on. What do you think, bud? How you feeling about that?
Who's telling who to do what, or is it just Jimmy Butler?
Giant set of onions in his shorts that Brett goes, yep, you're the closer.
Just take the onions out and go play.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it could be matchup. Like, Jimmy just looks and says, yeah, okay, I'll take this over when I want. Could be Tobias doing that. Depending on teams, are they doubling? Are they switching off? Whatever they may do, it might play more into that type of a game. I think Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler can break down anybody in the league, pretty much. Yeah. And I think Brett has that luxury of, okay, today it's you, tomorrow it's you, or the players do it themselves.
Yeah, they just go off the feel. Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.